Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah. You already know what time it is. It's that official time. When we take this worldwide. Let's go. Listen. So now it's time to turn it up. Surf the radio waves as we begin to burn it up. We all up in your area like landscape. Definitely bringing you the power slamming pancakes. It's the mandate that you tune in. It's time to move out so we can move in. And recognize that this is no illusion. I'm here to clear the air so that there is no confusion. It all started off in the book of Genesis, when Jacob was wrestling with who he thought was his nemesis. And when the man saw he couldn't overpower him, he touched his hip but he really couldn't devoured him. And from that point then we hear a name change. Rearrange the game so now we gotta change. So I'm here to let you know it's time to listen to the Pancake and Power Slam Show. Let's go! Turn it up, turn it up. It's the Pancake and Power Slam.
Turn it up, turn it up.
It's the Pancake and Power Slam.
Turn it up, turn it up.
It's the Pancake and Power Slam Show.
Turn it up, turn it up.
It's the Pancake and Power Slam.
Turn it up, turn it up.
It's the Pancake and Power Slam.
Turn it up, turn it up.
It's the Pancake and Power Slam Show.
Turn it up.
It is now time for the flavor. You are now listening to the Pancakes and Power Slam Show by Crave Wrestling on Blog Talk Radio. Be sure to follow Crave Wrestling on Twitter at Crave Wrestling and join the Facebook fan page Crave Wrestling.
Episode 221, ladies and gentlemen, this is the Pancakes and Power Slam Show. I am Chris Featherstone, your host. As always, follow us at Crave Wrestling on Twitter and, of course, Crave Wrestling page on Facebook. Ladies and gentlemen, I've interviewed a number of Hall of Famers and legends on my show, but this raises the bar. This is the one and only WWE Hall of Famer, Jake the Snake Roberts. How are you today, sir?
Oh, great, man. Lovely baseball game. Seeing the Toronto Blue Jays play the Arizona Diamondbacks, and got my fingers crossed that the Diamondbacks come out on top.
Yeah, that's a great night to watch it. So, would you watch basketball at all? Because I'm an Ohioan.
How do you feel about that? It hurts. I really wanted to see the guys out west win it. It was a great series, I'll say that. But I think there was some bad officiating during that series. We can always blame it on something, I guess. But it even got me in. But it was a phenomenal series, as everybody knows now. I mean, just great, great stuff to watch.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I agree. I'm a big Steph Curry fan because, big Steph Curry fan. I'm a Bulls fan, but the Bulls weren't in there. So, I'm rooting for players at that time. But as a native and a current Ohioan, it kind of feels good, for the Cavs to win their first ever championship. So that was good on my end as a native Ohioan. So, yeah. So let's get into the resurrection. So I entered the DDP last year to promote it, and I watched it before the interview with DDP last year, and I must say that it was incredibly riveting. It was an awesome, awesome story of you, just from the highs and the lows, and just the transformation of you from just spirit, soul, and body, and how from the resurrection tapings. How are you now compared to then? How are you feeling?
Oh, my God. Are you serious, man? I feel fabulous.
Awesome.
I've got almost 5 years sober and clean now, and the world is beautiful. My family loves me to death. My grandkids are I'm the coolest grandpa ever, and I am. I'd go to vote on that. But, everything's wonderful, man. And, the the feedback from the movie is just awesome. I'm out on the road now doing comedy.
Uh-huh.
I'm going into bars and speaking in bars and watching people push their drink back because I'm getting home on them, you know.
Wow.
And we've been able to help a few people along the way to sobriety or help them get started because they feel like they needed to.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, to be pulling people out of a bar scene and sitting down and talking serious about addiction, man, is awesome.
That's
what I'm here for. You know, these are my people, man. And these are the ones I'm supposed to be here for. So, I encourage people when they come out to see the show to talk to me if they're feeling that in their life. And I just, you know, I can never thank Dallas enough for what he did. And it's impossible. Mm-hmm. I mean, getting my life back. Since then, it's opened my eyes on so many different fronts in my life about things need to change, things need to be turned around, things need to go a completely different direction. So, you know, you just give me a choice to dream again, man. It's pretty awesome.
Yeah, that's incredible. Yeah, it seems like your willpower, you know, from watching that movie, it seems like just your will to live, you know, became stronger than ever. So that's one of the takeaways that I got from it.
It has, because, you know, she said I've dealt with cancer and came out on the top side of that. And if it comes back, that's fine. I'm ready for it. Because I'll tell you something, if you can beat addiction, you can beat cancer.
Uh-huh.
And I'm not foolish enough to think this addiction thing is not going to come back on me, because I'm sure it will.
Mm-hmm.
The old addiction devil doesn't like to lose anybody, you know, and makes his stats look bad, I guess. But I'm here to tell you, man, that, it really confuses me when I watch the movie now, and I just look at myself and I just shake my head in bewilderment that I ever allowed myself to get to that point that I found living in that point comfortable enough that I could, you know. Are you serious? I mean, I can't believe I was that bad. I can't believe that I'd gotten that bad, you know, and seeing myself physically just shocks me because, as you know, I've gotten myself in shape doing the BP yoga, of course, and, you know, I just feel good that I can move, you know.
Yeah.
I don't have to be in a wheelchair.
Yeah, that's awesome, man. That's absolutely incredible. So to the current wrestling here, we have a new WWE World Heavyweight Champion. That's Dean Ambrose. A lot of people in the wrestling world compare a lot of Dean Ambrose's antics and a lot of his, you know, personality traits to you. How does it feel?
Why? Because he's psychotic.
Because he's a lunatic, and you were one of the quintessential psychos back in the day.
Yeah.
So, you know, a lot of people, you know, I've heard Brian Pillman, I've heard Jake Roberts, I've heard Roddy Piper.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
What are your thoughts on Ambrose winning the title?
Well, kudos to him, man. Anybody to win that title, I never won it, and which I didn't get any opportunities for it either. I mean, that's the reason I never won it.
Uh-huh.
It is what it is. But no, man. Hey, comparing, I love being compared to world champions.
Yeah,
so, that's a good point. Go right ahead.
That's a great point, and that's a good segue. I was actually going to ask you that. I also watched your DVD from a few years back, the WWE produced DVD, and you talked about just never winning a title in the WWE. It seems like you're taking it in stride, but just the fan in me, you know, but the fan in me is like, I don't know, Jake. You know, that's one of those things that, you know, you had such an amazing character, so strong, but you never won.
Right.
So, you know, so why did Vince never give you a belt?
I don't think I was ever in line to get it because I simply didn't need it. I kind of walked my own walk and did my own talk, and it wasn't something that I needed to shore up my my Hall of Fame career, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I was usually in different cities than Hogan was, whatever, you know. They could explain it better than I can. I think I would have been a great champion. I think I could have put rear ends in seats. I think they could have done a lot worse than that as a champion.
That's for sure.
But, you know, it's all right with me, man. It doesn't take away the sweetness. It really doesn't.
Yeah. Now, was there ever talks of winning one at all, like in any type of production meetings? There were never talk of you winning any title at all, even a mid-card title?
Nope.
Wow.
Nope.
That is a shocker to me. That's really interesting.
Yeah, well, again, it's not something I needed to help me put butts in seats.
Yeah.
There's a lot of guys that need that, you know, to put them over the star top thing, you know, it's just something that wasn't necessary.
Yeah.
I have people come and see me because of my goofiness or my outlandish stuff, but because of the snake or whatever reason, that they were going to be there.
Yeah.
And I'm sure if I had gotten in trouble to the point that I wasn't putting the rears in seats, they might have done something to raise Jake Roberts a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, it doesn't bother me a bit. You know, every now and then I think about it. I think it would have been great to me just for my grandkids, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I've got a lot of them, so hopefully I'll have more. So we just keep waiting. You never know. Never say never. I might not be free yet.
That's
just
true.
You never know about a snake. You know what he's going to do next.
That's very true. I know that in the DVD, on the Resurrection movie, you know, you were really, you know, pushing on being in the Royal Rumble. How is that desire still there?
It is, but it's not out the front. You know, right now I'm trying to finish a book, about my life and stuff. And I've written it all myself. I've done everything myself. And I'm going to sell it myself because I'm not giving this away, you know. And it's going to be for the fans. This is going to be like a wrestling book that nobody's ever done.
Yeah, that's awesome.
It's going to be unbelievable. It really, really is. And yeah, I've got a lot of other things on the fire, too. Movies that are on the road. I've got a couple of movies that I'm working on. And I don't know what's next.
Awesome.
I don't want to know what's next. I want it to be something that just completely blows my mind.
Yeah,
I'm out there trying new things now. I'm open to trying new things. And, I find so much exciting today because of the freedom to live.
Uh-huh.
And people that haven't been there don't get it. I hope that you never have to experience it. When your life is toned down to one small thing, whether it be drugs or alcohol, and that's what you live for, man, life stinks.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I've had, thank God I've never personally went through something to that level,
mm-hmm.
but I've known people and have family members that,
mm-hmm.
that have mirrored your journey, you know, from your DVD that I've seen firsthand, and it's tough to, you know, and that's the thing. A lot of
it's
people
tough to watch. Sure,
exactly,
you know.
Exactly. A lot of people who are addicted to something, they don't realize the toll that it takes on their loved ones as well.
Oh my gosh,
you know,
it destroys everything, man. And that's why I urge people out there to be more like Dallas, not like me, because.
Mm-hmm.
What we all need to do is reach out to help those that are in our family, help our friends.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and I'm all about that now. You know, I try to help as many people as I can. And, you know, I've never had a bad feeling from doing that either. So I am all about that.
That's awesome. So, question, was there ever any heat between you and Ricky Steamboat after the infamous Saturday Night Main Event incident?
Mm-hmm. Not between us, no. No, I was angry with, some of the people that wanted that done. Because I told them it couldn't be done. I said, that's impossible. I'll kill him. And we're very fortunate that we didn't kill him.
Yeah.
We messed him up. It took 2 weeks for his eyes to turn black. He had 4 inches of swelling in his forehead. It was horrible. The sound of it happened. And the limbness of his body, when I tried to pick it up, I nearly herniated myself there. So. I was angry at George Scott. And that was the guy that was written that in and just did not want to get off of it. But, you know, Steamboat, he asked for it and he got it.
Yeah, for sure. What about, did you have any negative feelings toward Austin after the King of the Ring speech?
No, absolutely not.
That's good.
No.
That's good.
No, you know, I've been helping Steve for a while. You know, and he would call me each day and tell me what was going on, how to deal with this, how do I go from here to there. because I was a big supporter of Steve before anybody else was. Uh-huh. In fact, Vince had told me that this guy's mid-card at best. And I disagreed with him. I said, I think the guy's going to be your next blowing out of the water guy.
Uh-huh.
And I hate when I'm right, but boy, I was right.
You sure was, for sure. For sure you were. So, you know, another one, my all-time favorite, you know, is Sting. You know, you're definitely up there. And my personal favorite, Sting, he just got in the Hall of Fame. And, you know, you had an amazing feud with Sting in the WCW. Mm-hmm. That's probably, you know, your only really notable feud in WCW. How was it working with Sting? And who came up with the idea of your debut, how you debuted, your feud with Sting?
That was Bill Watts. Bill Watts and Dusty Rhodes came up with the way I debuted. The reason I left is because of Bill Watts. But there you go. I'm not going to go into all that because I just don't feel like bringing his name up here, you know. And working with Sting was all right. At the time, Sting was in a funny place, I guess. And he'd gotten tired of being the face out front.
Mm.
You know? And that's the only thing I can say about guaranteed contracts. Guys get lazy. Guys don't get hungry anymore. Because he just didn't want to do a whole lot in the ring. He was very, you know, devil may care, lackadaisical, didn't want to ramp it up. You know, it wasn't, I didn't enjoy it. Mm. I did not enjoy it. Because, you know, it's one thing to go out there and tip your hat and go at it, you know, and try to have a great night.
Yeah.
But when you're going out there and you know the guy across from you just doesn't have his heart in it, man, get the hell out.
Yeah, it's,
get out.
That's a good point.
You know, and I didn't enjoy that, you know, and, you know, I don't see how you could. Really, I don't.
Yeah.
It's a shame on him.
Yeah. That is pretty sad. Have you talked to Sting afterwards after that? Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I talked to him, but he never went there. There's no need to. I know what he was, and I know what I am.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know, man. I can't say I know how he feels because I never had one of those fat contracts when you
that's a good point.
Get lazy and not do anything.
Yeah.
To me, I just don't need to go out there and live like that. I don't want to live like that. I want to be excited about what I'm doing. You know, I really don't understand that, you know, that way of thinking. I don't know how you can go out there and perform that and not enjoy it and be excited about it. And, I don't know. It seems like we're dealing with more of that. I just don't know, man.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, I agree with you. I mean, a lot of times, a lot of times during that time in WCW, even in WWE, you actually saw it in the product. You saw a lazy product, you know, because a lot of times, you know, that type of mentality, it emulates, you know, through the camera a lot
sure
more
does.
Than people think.
Sure does.
Know? Yeah, absolutely. And
absolutely,
we saw it.
And, stinks. There you go.
It sure does. Absolutely. So I just, you know, you're actually one of my best and one of the hands down best promo cutters of all time, one of my favorites.
Right.
And I always thought that why isn't this legend a promo teacher for the WWE, especially some you know, brand like NXT. Were you? Has it ever been discussed? Why aren't you a promo teacher, a promo coach in NXT?
I have no idea, man. I have no idea. You know, I would love to pass some of the knowledge I have more of the other guys. Maybe they're worried I might fall back into my old ways. But no, you know, I do miss helping. I do miss performing. I do miss being around it. But maybe it's just. Maybe it's just not going to happen, man, for whatever reason. But, you know, they seem to believe in a formula they have, and they certainly have a good product from time to time. But, hell, we can always use a little help.
Oh,
know?
Yeah. I mean, especially from someone
like
you.
Better.
Yeah, I mean.
I would think so.
Yeah. I mean, I know that, you know, they did the Breaking Ground, and Scott Hall, you know, was a part, and he helped people with just their character building, and I think that was good.
Yeah.
But, I mean, there's, you know, you're a cut above the rest when it comes to cutting promos.
Yeah.
You know,
I know that.
So, I mean, that's.
I don't know, man.
That's, yeah.
I have sat down with Bray Wyatt a few times.
Okay.
Give him some ideas. And, I certainly appreciate what he's doing out there. So,
oh, yeah, absolutely.
You know?
Yeah. That's, you know, he's definitely one of those people that just emulates your promo style for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah.
We work on some promo stuff together, so it's pretty fun.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So what are the best and worst parts of the current product? That's my last question to you. What are your thoughts on that? The best and worst parts of the current product? Because, you know, I've got over 30 years of wrestling experience when it comes
right.
to wrestling, and I've
right.
seen generations of just, you know, understanding, you know, the strength of the baby face compared to the strength of the
right.
heel. It's too murky
right.
now. You know, that's one of my biggest.
It is very
yeah.
murky. They flip flop like fish out of a pan.
Yeah.
I don't like that part of it. You know, I think that it's just a completely different animal today. It's not necessarily the animal I like. So
yeah,
I'll just go leave it at that. You know, it hurts me sometimes to watch it. I get so angry because I see so much that's being wasted, so much that's being abused. How they abuse finishing maneuvers now is just,
man.
Oh my God.
Oh,
I just want to slap people in the face, you know?
Yeah.
And when it will stop, I do not know.
Yeah.
But not soon enough.
And the bad thing is that we have such a crowd that just kind of hunger and is kind of bloodthirsty, you know, that they, you know, when it goes to back to the old school, when actually holds and locks meant something, you know what I mean? And you kind of build to the finish. You know, people are having so many false finishes now, and that's become
right.
the standard of a good match, which it just
right.
cringes me. It really does.
Right. It stinks. It really does, man. And I wanted to get out of it, but I don't think it will happen for
yeah.
a while.
Yeah, unfortunately.
They're forced to. And once they're forced to, they'll do it.
Yep.
But
yep.
These kids waste a lot.
Yeah, that's unfortunate.
Well, I appreciate you having me on.
Yeah, absolutely. Promote yourself. You promote some, you know, some dates that you have, and where can we find you?
I'm on Twitter, man. You know, Jake the Snake. I'm that guy. And, get ready for the book. It's going to blow everybody out of the water, man. We're about 3 months out, so
awesome.
Get ready for that. And other than that, look for me out there on the Twitter for my upcoming shows in Canada. I'm up there for the next 3 weeks doing the Jake the Snake Unspoken Word tour, and just keep looking over your shoulder. You don't know where the hell I'm going to show up. Okay, I'm in a Jays game, for God's sake, you know?
That's what snakes do. You never know. It's been a pleasure, Jake.
All right, thank you, sir.
Bye, everybody.
Bring what you got. The measuring stick just changed around here, buddy. You're looking at it.
Four corners, free. On mine. Let's go. The whole squad is making it clear we've taken this year. You know who we are, but you don't know why we here. So this is where the big boys play. These big boys play like who defies the living God. Get out the big boys way. Outsiders with the swoop in. We live as kings, you see in us. But our third man waits in the wings. And when the time is right, we shock him with the proper attack. I go for Dolo, but ain't solo. Cut the promo in black. Hollywood, Hendrix, Frizzle, pinning them to the max.
And I'm Dash One Nation with the strength of 100 men, with one intent to see the will fulfilled of the one who sent his son to give himself. But you rap about your gas and your rags torture, white coffins when I drop a bomb. My mic's awesome, never lost faith. You in all space, you can all skate, suffer but never crippled. No bin walls in my cross face. From here to Saturday, raving, anticipating. I was frostbit, now I am glacier, mixed with some Vader. Get to hawking with these animals using
God for my defense. In Alabama, we jamming. That's beautiful. Bobby Eaton, me and Priest, we the dangerous alliance. Nah, the Harlem Heat. Tie the do-rag before we do battle. You're talking sheep. You all what you speak. This too sweet.
Till the genre is took back, we reppin' that work pack. The foundation's shaking, no mistaking. Yeah, we shook that. Trust in God, we trust. Pushing forward, never look back. Meekness ain't at all weakness. Some people mistook that. Stamping out this crook rap. Heat turning the power on the razor's edge. Leg drop after a power bomb. Tired of the lies, man. We bringing the truth through. Diligent and fruitful. The owners in our group too. It's good to be king. Sold out, this war is brutal.
We playing them war games. Our army go move too. You too. I'm in the Raptors with a bat in my hand. And stand to shatter all your plans so they don't matter. In the grand scheme, it's that easy. We tag teaming. Steiner brothers, we love it. Demand the win. Establish it. It's the clash of the champions.
This is where the big boys play, huh? We ain't here to play.
And a very special thank you to WWE Hall of Famer Jake the Snake Roberts, man. It's awesome to have him on the show. I'm really appreciative of that. And it was absolute pleasure to have him on the show. So without further ado, let's continue this wave of having special guests on the show. So the mastermind behind Great Lakes Championship Wrestling and Blizzard Brawl, and one of the dynamic duos, so to speak, of Pro Wrestling Report, none other than David Hero. How are you tonight, sir?
I'm doing fantastic. How are you guys doing tonight?
Doing awesome, awesome, awesome. So how was your day? How do you feel about the Cavs and the Golden State Warriors? Are you chilled from that, or you're still on that rush?
You know what? I thought it was an amazing series. I was surprised how much of a character hit Stephen Curry took. He was the golden boy a year ago, and now it's like not so much anymore. And it's almost like LeBron James, you know, leaped over him and became the guy again. So, I mean, just an amazing series. I'm happy for LeBron James. It's a big win for him. You know that Golden State's going to be back again next year. Now, of course, with rumors of them trying to get Durant or Nowitzki. So they're going to try to build a super team out there. But, you know, it was definitely some fun basketball to watch. I enjoyed it.
Yeah. And I think Dirk or Kevin, one of them would be the missing link that they need, because their bench is so flaky, and we saw that in the series. Mm-hmm. You know, you'll put Harrison Barnes out there, and he'll be like 1 for 80. You know, he just
right.
I'm a very good shooter, man. It would just cringe me, because I'm an Ohioan. I'm a native Ohioan. I live in Ohio, and so just I'm a big Ohio sports fan, but I'm not a LeBron fan. And I'm a Bulls fan, but I like Steph Curry.
Sure.
So I was kind of pulling for Golden State, but I mean, it would just hurt me to just watch Harrison Barnes shoot the basketball. It was just cringe.
Well, I mean,
but having Durant or Dirk in there, I think that would be just what they need.
Oh, it'd be huge. You know, and to have that big body, that outside presence that can shoot a 15-20 foot jumper, you know, it's very impressive.
Absolutely.
You know, here's the thing. You don't have to like LeBron James. You really don't. But you just got to be like, you know what? He's the man. He's an amazing talent, you know?
Yeah,
and,
can't take away from him.
Yeah. That you can't do, you know? You don't have to like him. You don't got to buy his jerseys. But at the end of the day, if you're building a team, he's the guy you want.
Yeah. That's very true. I wasn't the guy in Ohio that burned his jersey, though, so I can say that.
No.
So.
There you go. You were smart, because otherwise it would have cost you another $50 to get a new one, you know?
That's true. That's very true. Yeah. Speaking of headlines, there was a huge headline in the pro wrestling world today. Roman Reigns is suspended for 30 days for his first violation of the substance abuse policy. Was it a shocker to you, or do you know some things that make it a shock to you.
Now, you know what? Yeah, I'm surprised, you know. I mean, but, you know, who knows what it really was, what it was about, what he got popped for. You know, I mean, we can all sit here and speculate steroids, you know, cocaine, whatever it is. We have no idea. And they're never going to tell us because it's none of our business, you know.
Yeah.
But, you know, I like Roman Reigns. I think he's an amazing talent. And it's just like, I just feel bad for the guy. At the end of the day, whatever it was a bad decision. It was a poor promotion, or whatever it was, it didn't go his way. And now he's being blasted again by everybody. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So that way, I do feel bad for him. But, you know, it's his own fault at the end of the day. And, you know, all Roman Reigns has ever done is everything that the office has asked of him. You know?
Very true.
He's gone out there and done everything. You know, he's been put in spots that haven't been easy for him. But he's gone out there and he's done the best that he can. And now he gets hit with this. And, yeah, he's not going to miss the next pay-per-view, you know. And, you know, who knows what it was. I mean, it could be something real simple. I mean, he right away owned it. He apologized for it, apologized to his friends, his family, everybody else.
Yeah.
So that just shows you the kind of guy that he is.
Yeah, yeah, he tweeted about it. You know, he said he apologized. Yeah, I know I know a Roman Reigns story or two that from some things that people tell me of interactions they've had with him that it didn't surprise me, to be honest with you. I think it was it was one of those things that it was kind of inevitable to me based on what I knew. You know, but here's the thing though, you know, hopefully this is a reality check for him, you know, and my hope is that him understanding how vital he is to the product would kind of give him, it would be an eye opener. I really hope that this is an eye opener because, you know, he definitely, you know, he has a prominent position right now, the company, but it can't get to the point where he gets that 60-day suspension. And, you know, I just had Maddox on my show a few weeks ago, and he was saying that, you know, those suspensions, those vacations, and, you know, being a promoter, you know, that doesn't necessarily, you know, keep your spot, you know, as a top guy in the company. So, you know, it just so happens to be perfectly timed, you know, at this point, you know, because he's still making it to a pay-per-view. And this is, you know, July is usually the slowest. June, July is usually the slowest, you know, months of the year from a wrestling fiscal standpoint. So, you know, he caught it at the right time, but, you know, hopefully this will give him a reality check.
But, you know, and here's the thing. Of course, it's a different set of rules today than it was in the Attitude Era.
Yeah.
Imagine if they had this testing policy from 96 to 2002.
Yeah.
You know how many guys would have been popped? How many guys would have been suspended? How many of those guys? Because, listen, you know, back then I was out with those guys, and I saw what was going on, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to bet that, you know, 85% of the roster would get popped for something, you know? But it's just a different time, and there's been a lot of TV money and time put into Roman Reigns. But I think, I mean, it actually – if I'm the creative team, I'm a little relieved because now we get a chance to take the guy off of TV for a month and let him come back refreshed. You know, I'm sure that they knew about this on Sunday morning of the pay-per-view, and that's why they had Rollins go over. I don't think Rollins is physically ready yet to get the run as the champ to be on every house show. And that's why they put it on Ambrose, because he is their workhorse right now. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And they've invested a lot of time and money into Ambrose. I mean, he was in a program with Brock Lesnar, Chris Jericho, and Triple H this year. That's pretty impressive. You know what I mean? So it's obviously he's been battle-tested. They feel comfortable with him. So let's run with Ambrose probably through SummerSlam. I don't expect Ambrose to leave SummerSlam the champion. But, you know, I expect him to at least get that far. You know,
Here's my question, though, with that. And I think that makes a great point because I agree with you. I was actually asked to be a guest host of a podcast before this one, and I shared, you know, with them similar to what you're saying now, as far as I believe that one of the reasons why Roman Reigns did drop is because they did know this on Sunday, and they wanted to, you know, drop it. Because here's the thing, you know, there's been reports galore about them wanting Roman Reigns to be to spearhead the company and then have a long title reign, and he only had it for 2.5 months, and so they had to know. I mean, it had to be something that they were aware of. But here's my thing, though. Dean Ambrose is not, you know, he's a good worker, but he's not a big draw, though. I mean, like, what are your thoughts as far as having him? I mean, I understand having him as champ right now is feasible because it's a slower season. But, I mean, do you think that they'll kind of, if they realize that the numbers and the ratings drop, you know, catastrophically over the past few weeks, do they think that you think that they'll yank it from them at Battleground?
No, because ratings traditionally dip in the summertime because people are not in their house watching wrestling.
Right.
So if you're going to roll the dice on a guy, and I don't think they're rolling the dice on Ambrose, I'm confident that the office and creative is very happy with what Dean Ambrose has done. From everything I've heard from people that work there, that he does everything that they ask. He's a great soldier, and he's being rewarded. And, you know, it's at the right timing. You know, does Kevin Owens deserve it? Absolutely. Kevin Owens has had an amazing year, you know. But the thing is when you think of right now, you need a strong baby face to be the guy for Seth Rollins right now, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Who is there? It's, you know, I mean, most of their top main guys are heel. So, I mean, AJ Styles is the heel. You know, you got Kevin Owens is the heel. You know, now the Wyatts are back. You know, they're the heels. And Sami Zayn isn't ready, you know, to be the champ right now. And, you know, Cesaro isn't either. And Cesaro's amazing, you know. But right now, the storyline is with the Shield, and I think right now that is the absolute best way for them to go, is to build towards that triple threat at Battleground, and then something huge will come out of that match for SummerSlam. I thought for sure they would have done the triple threat at SummerSlam because I think that's more of the money match, you know, for that pay-per-view. But it's going to be a very interesting next couple months.
Yeah, it will. And here's my thing on that, as far as the Shield triple threat at SummerSlam. I've actually turned the corner in the past couple of days. On Sunday nights after pay-per-views, I have a Facebook Live on my Crave Wrestling page. And I was thinking, you know, this shouldn't be a blow-off match, you know, at Battleground. But the more I thought about it, because a couple of weeks ago when we first found out that Lesnar was going to UFC, before they announced Mark Hunt, I wanted it to be Mark Hunt because, to me, that's the perfect person. Mark Hunt is the perfect person that gives the WWE material to use for a storyline. Because with Mark Hunt, he's Samoan. That's perfect material for Paul Heyman to say, you know, whether win or lose, you know, yeah, he lost against Mark Hunt, but he can beat Roman Reigns, or if he beats Mark Hunt, you know, I beat someone from the Samoan bloodline, I can beat you too. You know what I mean? So I think that gives material for Heyman against, you know, for Roman Reigns. So I think, you know, and the thing is with SummerSlam, there's no person in the Shield right now that has that crossover appeal yet. And when you're and when you're plugging for the biggest, you know, the biggest event of the summer and a 4-hour event, you know, you want to bring in the casuals. You know, you don't want to have a new.
You
want to
bring in a Joe Walmart fan.
Yeah. And you don't want to have a niche pay per view like Battleground is. That's not a pay per view for the casuals. That's a niche pay per view. That's a WWE Network, you know, 2 million people pay per view. But you don't want that for SummerSlam, of course. You want that star appeal. Brock Lesnar's really the only person. Go ahead.
At the same time, I don't believe WWE uses the traditional pay-per-view formula anymore, because they never say contact your cable provider anymore. Now it's, they're pushing everybody to the network.
Yeah.
So it's not like, you know, it's not like they're trying to sell more pay-per-views. They're trying to get more subscriptions.
And that's true.
You know,
I'm
sure you watched Monday night, you know, last Monday night, where not once did they ever say, contact your cable provider for Money in the Bank. Not once.
Yeah.
So that formula doesn't work. That's why they don't have go-home shows anymore, because there's no reason to hype it, because they're not trying to get you to spend $45 or $55. Yeah. They're just trying to get 10 bucks out of you.
Yeah, and I think that dumbs down the product, to be honest with you. It kind of takes the thrill away from it, and I think you make a very valid point. But I would counter it in a sense, because I still think that they still have the glitz and the glamour, the appeal, and the crossover for SummerSlam and WrestleMania, and that's mm-hmm. that's my point. That's the reason why I think that from a pay-per-view, from a network subscription standpoint, I think that the Shield Triple Threat is perfect for Battleground, because it appeals to the wrestling fans. It appeals to the people who are still on the fence about the network, who still watch Raw at least, you know, twice a month. You know, those are the people
right.
who
uh-huh.
would appeal from a Shield Triple Threat match. That's the reason why, you know, when I was thinking about it more and more, I said, you know what, this is a perfect – Battleground is a perfect position, is a perfect pay-per-view for the Shield Triple Threat. I don't think that the Shield Triple Threat is marketable enough to main event a WrestleMania or a SummerSlam, because I think from a traditionalist standpoint, I think from who's going to bring casuals in. You know, we don't want people to go away from WWE. We want people to come to the WWE. And who's going to do that? Brock Lesnar's going to do that. So he's the marquee guy.
Brock Lesnar only does that if he wins at UFC 200.
I don't think
so. If he loses,
he will.
No, because here's why. Because if Mark Hunt beats Brock Lesnar, the UFC will see we beat the fake fighter on the planet.
Yeah.
Okay? They will.
Yeah.
They'll say he's a
yeah.
fake fighter, and he couldn't beat a guy like Mark Hunt. Everything. Now, if I'm Vince McMahon, I'm a little bit nervous, because you have now had Brock Lesnar end the streak, beat Triple H, destroy John Cena, okay, beat Dean Ambrose. He's beaten everybody. He has yet to truly lose a match. He's never lost a traditional match. He's lost gimmick matches, okay,
mm-hmm.
but he's yet to lose a traditional match. Well, now Brock Lesnar losing at UFC 200, which is a month before SummerSlam. Now Brock Lesnar is not the beast anymore. Now there's a niche in the armor. He's no longer that special attraction that they have put all this time and money and effort into. So I think it's extremely dangerous for Brock Lesnar. You know, I mean, I'm gonna watch, because, you know, I want to see him win. I want to see him dominate, because I don't want, you know, Dana White to say, see, we can beat the fake fighter. We can
That's
beat
true.
The former world champion fake fighter. Because he's not a real fighter.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I see that point. I still think it's the curiosity factor, though. I think that if he loses to Mark Hunt, I think that people will want to see how the fake fighter reacts in the fake fighting, you know, atmosphere.
That's the thing. He can only then win in the fake fights. He can't win in the real fights.
Mm.
And it just makes the wrestling business look phony to the people that are UFC fans.
Yeah, yeah.
So
I mean, that risk is there.
You know.
Yeah. That risk is there, and I agree with that, definitely. I still think that it still brings a star appeal. See, here's the thing. He's going to come back regardless. If he wins or loses, he's going to come back. Unless he's, you know, the only caveat, you know, that's been reported is, if the New York State Commission doesn't clear him medically, that's the only thing that would prevent him from, you know, coming back from SummerSlam. So I still think that he's a crossover name enough for, you know, to pull a little bit of UFC people from, you know, as some type of interest. It's one of those things to me. I believe that, you know, you have the UFC people right now. He's, you know, pinned to be a WWE guy going into a UFC, you know, platform. Although we know that he's fought, you know, a half a dozen times or two and about a half a dozen times. Yeah. So, you know, when he's in UFC, they're going to be aware of his WWE, you know, status. And we've seen it. We've seen the ESPN interviews. So we know that he's a WWE guy. And to me, I think the UFC, I think there will be some interest from UFC to make him, you know, even if win or lose, there'll be enough interest for some UFC people to say, well, okay, we've already buried Brock Lesnar. He's not, you know, he should go back to WWE. But I'm curious about how he'll react, to losing, you know, from a WWE standpoint. And I agree with you as far as saying, you know, the whole, you know, he's going to win the fake fight. I get that. But I still think it draws some type of interest enough for him to still be the marquee guy for SummerSlam and how that's going to be handled. It's still a crossover effect that the WWE needs, and they're still going to capitalize off of that for SummerSlam, win or lose. And it goes back to my point of, I don't think the Shield has that type of marketability for a big stage like SummerSlam.
Well, then who do you put Brock Lesnar in the ring with at SummerSlam?
Roman Reigns. I'll do Lesnar Reigns too. Because it's an untold story. Like I said, you know, if Mark Hunt wins or loses, I think it gives Paul Heyman, you know, enough material to say, you know, if he wins, you know, he beat Mark Hunt, he can beat you as well. You know, if Mark Hunt loses, you know, he couldn't beat this Samoan, you know, but he can beat you. And, you know, with Roman Reigns and Brock Lesnar won at WrestleMania, there wasn't a definitive winner. So, you know, I don't want to see it at WrestleMania again. So I think it draws so much, it gives so much good material for us to see Reigns and Lesnar too.
Oof. It'd be interesting, you know. It just, you know, that match, I don't know. Because right now, Reigns, I guess, would be the only real viable opponent, or Kevin Owens would be a viable opponent for Lesnar at SummerSlam.
You know, I don't think. Okay, so you're bringing Lesnar back as the face.
Brock Lesnar will always be a babyface because he's so dominant. He's like the Road Warriors of the 1980s. You know, they were the bad guys. They got the loudest reaction because people love ass kickers. You know, unless Brock Lesnar goes out there and kills someone's baby, I just don't see them booing him.
Well, he was getting boos against Ambrose.
Yeah, but he's really the only one because the fans love Ambrose that much. The fans don't love Roman Reigns. Okay,
right.
I mean,
right.
And God, I don't want to see Ambrose and Lesnar again, especially if Ambrose is the champ.
No way.
You know,
no,
I really don't. I really don't.
No.
You know?
No. Because the first one was underwhelming for me, to be honest with you.
Yes.
It's
because they couldn't do the stuff that they wanted to do. I mean, you do a street fight and you can't use any of the props that you tease. That just puts everyone in a really bad spot.
Yeah, it does. Yeah. That's a good point. So yeah, I mean, it should be interesting. You know, I'm pretty excited. I'm excited to see. Of course, I'm going to see. You know, 200, and I'm you know, with my point with UFC, I think we're kind of seeing it with Punk. You know, because I'll say this: a lot of people are under the impression that he's going to get just totally hammered by Mickey Gall, and you know, and I think that, but that doesn't matter though. You know, the box office interest is Punk is in his first match coming from the WWE, you know, and he still kind of has that same appeal of, you know, is this, who's this wrestler? Let's see if he's going to really stand up and represent himself well, you know, in the octagon. So I'm pretty excited to see Lesnar and Punk, because I think they're saying that Punk is going to fight 202, right?
Yes. Yeah, yeah. And that's going to be interesting. You know, Punk is up here in Milwaukee training with Duke Rufus.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, and from what I've been hearing, he hasn't done very well in his sparring fight.
Yeah.
So, right. I mean, it, yeah. You know, and Punk, you know, he's a little bit older, and he's broken down, you know. So
mm-hmm.
it's going to be interesting to see how well he does. I think there's going to be a lot of people cheering for him, but I think even more people cheering against him.
Oh yeah, definitely.
Mm-hmm.
So, what are your biggest takeaways from Money in the Bank?
Money in the Bank. One of the things I took away is how the girls are extremely underwhelming right now.
Yes.
You know,
absolutely.
I mean, a year ago it was the, you know, you had Paige and you had Sasha and Charlotte and Becky and all these girls coming in ready to, you know, rule the world. And, oh, I mean, I miss Alicia Fox right now. You know what I mean? Just because it just seems like they're all so, I don't want to say one-dimensional, but it's almost, that's kind of what it feels like.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know. I've just been expecting more. I thought that the tag match was good. I liked it. I was hoping that Gallows and Anderson would leave with the tag belts because I think they need them right now. They just need some. They need more heat on them besides just being AJ's guys.
Yeah.
But the one thing that does terrify me about the tag thing is, as much as I enjoy Enzo and Kaz, their promo in the ring, I have no problem with the stuff they do coming down to the ring. Okay, you can't teach that. I love it. You know, 7 feet tall, you can't teach that. Bada boom, how you doing? Awesome. I get it. It's when they get in the ring and they cut that promo, it just seems so forced that eventually the fans are going to tune out. When Road Dogg did it with Billy, with the Outlaws, Road Dogg has that natural gift. He can talk, and everything he did rhymed, and it was funny, but it just seems like Enzo was trying to have too many jokes, and he's just trying to get too much of his stuff in for it to be effective, and I think the fans might eventually get sick of that down the road.
So you don't like the zero dimes part of it?
No. I have no problem. Do your thing. The music hits. Do your stuff down the ramp. Walk down the ramp. That's great. Get in the ring. Do the how you doing. Do the whole SAWFT. Boom. Okay, start the match.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The one thing I have noticed, and it goes across the board with everybody, with the exception of AJ Styles, everybody's having the same match.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? It's all the same. Each guy just does the same spots, the same transition moves, the same false finishes. I mean, how many times is Dolph Ziggler going to try to pin somebody after a Famouser? It hasn't happened once yet, okay? So
Right. Why
keep doing it, okay? How many super kicks are we going to see people kick out of? Just imagine. If Shawn Michaels was active today, he wouldn't have a career. He wouldn't have a finish.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Neither would Jake Roberts.
Jake
the
Roberts
DDT
too.
It's a transition move right now. The DDT is a transition move.
Yep.
And it's just like, man, it's brutal. It's terrible.
Yeah.
You know, so that stuff makes me nervous. I thought the Money in the Bank match was solid. A year ago, I was not a Kevin Owens fan. Today, I think he's fantastic because he is the best character on TV because he is the prick you don't like. But he backs everything up, you know. He goes out there and does. He works hard, and he's a great talker, and I thoroughly enjoy his work, you know. And he should have been the guy that should have won Money in the Bank, as far as I'm concerned.
I think I predicted Ambrose because I think it was about time for the whole Shield thing. Mm-hmm. But
let's face it, Ambrose deserved it. He went out there and he let Triple H beat him at Roadblock. He then comes back the next month, gets handed to him by Brock Lesnar, okay? Mm-hmm. And then he gets stuck in a program with Jericho, and of course, you know, he wins the Ambrose Asylum match, which reminded me way too much of a TNA Lethal Lockdown match, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, so Ambrose, you know, he's definitely been that good soldier where he's gone out there and he's done everything that they've asked him to do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. See, my thing with Owens, though, is that I just there's still something missing about him to me. My biggest thing is this: when creative is booking someone as a heel, you know, it may be a combination of the creative and just the fans in general. Especially the fans. I mean, just let a heel be a heel. And I just think it's such, I think it's so damaging to someone's character when they go out there and they make heel antics. I mean, they don't get jeered. I think it's so counterproductive when a heel is cheered. You know, that just kind of takes away just the essence of the character. You know, he's an antagonist. He's doing these things for you to hate him, you know, but you're not hating him. So it just kind of makes it so difficult for someone to get really behind someone's character if it's the reaction is not what he's. I mean, that's the reason why people aren't behind Roman Reigns, because, well, I like Roman Reigns, but the reason why he gets booed so much is because the reason why his character is not so strong right now is because he's still pinned as a baby face, but he gets booed like crazy, you know, you know, same thing
he's
with
like
Seth Rollins. Yeah. He's John Cena. Same thing with Seth Rollins. You know, he's an amazing athlete. He gets cheered, but he comes out and he's just kind of forcing himself to antagonize. And it doesn't strengthen someone's character if he's supposed to be a heel. And I would say Rollins and Owens more than anyone, you know, a pure heel needs to get the heat. You're not getting heat if people are cheering for you. I mean, you're just not.
I don't think Owens goes out there and does the cool heel stuff. I when I hear his promos, he sounds like a prick with ears. To me, he does, you know. But he backs it up. That's the thing. The babyface never gets any heat on him because he has all the cool moves. That set up powerbomb is impressive, you know?
Yeah.
And for me, my theory on that is sometimes wrestling fans gravitate towards people that they can identify with, okay? Mm. For me, I'm 6'5", I'm 320 pounds. I love the Attitude Era. I thought The Rock was amazing, Steve Austin was the man, but I related more to Mick Foley because I felt I was more built like Mick Foley.
Mm-hmm.
Today's wrestling fans, not all of them, but, you know, if you go to the show, a lot of them look like Bray Wyatt or look like Kevin Owens. A little heavier set, stockier with the big beard. Well, hey, I can pass for Kevin Owens or Bray Wyatt for Halloween. I can't look like Roman Reigns, so I'm going to cheer for the guys I can relate to. You know what I mean?
So with that theory, why not make Bray Wyatt and Kevin Owens two of the strongest baby faces on the roster?
Because who would the heels be then to fight them?
Oh, there's a bunch of. I mean, I think that Luke Harper can be one of the strongest heels right now. I think that, you know, Roman Reigns can be one of the strongest heels right now. You know, I think that there's enough. Or Dolph Ziggler, you know, he can be a strong heel. He was a strong heel. I think that creative is just kind of messing it up when it comes to really looking at the list of people on the roster and saying, based on what we've seen from house shows, from live events, from pay-per-views, this person gets cheered more than anything else. You know, and this person gets jeered more than anything else. If it's just that simple, you get back to the traditional pro wrestling of, yeah, this person can get heat. I think Dolph Ziggler has everything possible to get that cocky, arrogant heat like he did before. People, I mean, here's the thing with Dolph Ziggler. People just aren't interested anymore because, you know, he just goes out there. He's still pinned as a baby face, and he doesn't – I mean,
he wins the same match every night.
Yeah, I mean, it's the same thing. It's the Famouser. It's the 14 super kicks. It's the sleeper hold. It's the jumping DDT. There's no character. There's no character enhancement. There's no character development with Dolph Ziggler. He does the same, you know, turn around. You look at his jacket. He, you know, gyrates around. It's the same thing with Ziggler. And if
I think Dolph Ziggler's best work was with Big E.
Yeah, yeah.
When it was him, Big E and AJ. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, and I think, you know, once the WWE realized, this isn't working. Let's work on characters. Let's not book for just, you know, fantastic five-star wrestling matches. That's not just the heart and soul of pro wrestling. The heart and soul of pro wrestling is theater, it's art, it's drama, it's storylines, it's psychology. You know, I always say that Steamboat and Savage wasn't the 93,000 seat match. Andre and Hogan was, you know, and that's because there was the psychology back there. There's no psychology anymore, and it messes up the product so much.
If you think about it, the guys that drew the most money ever in pro wrestling, Andre the Giant, Gorgeous George, Hulk Hogan, The Rock, The Undertaker, Steve Austin was a hybrid. Amazing in-ring technician, but also an amazing character. Mm-hmm. You know, Ultimate Warrior, you know, Sting, guys like that, they drew the most money, and they were not the best in-ring performers. Now, at
Absolutely.
That same token, if you now look at the guys in the 70s and 80s, right now, guys like Captain Lou Albano, King Kong Bundy, Junkyard Dog, Kamala, George the Animal Steel, all Hall of Fame type guys, probably wouldn't have careers today because they don't do moves.
Right.
They don't do flips, you know? Mm. So, you know, the business has changed because of the talent. You know, it's far more athletic guys ever right now in the history of wrestling than they've ever had. But the problem is, they don't know how to tell a story. They don't understand psychology and theory.
Right.
And that's what holds every match back. And that's why, you know, Hogan and Rock was so good, you know, because it was great psychology. It was great theory, you know. That's why if you put Triple H in a match, he knows how to pull it off. He knows how to tell a story. Ric Flair could tell a story. Certain guys, it's their gift. A lot of those guys today are from a wrestling factory, NXT. The best, you know, the best wrestlers work in the territory, from the Crockett's, you know, in the Carolinas, all the way out to the Pacific Northwest, you know, to Memphis, to Dallas. They'd go to Hawaii and they'd go to Puerto Rico, and they would. All those guys would pick up different things. They don't have that now. Now you go to a wrestling factory. And it is state-of-the-art, and they have some of the best trainers. It's the best facility ever.
Yeah.
But they can't teach those guys how guys like Austin and Hogan and Savage and Flair and Sting, how they all came up working all different territories where they were wrestling every night of the week, perfecting their craft.
Mm-hmm.
They don't do that anymore.
Yeah.
So.
And I think about just the art of a pure heel. You know, back in the 80s, I grew up in the 80s watching wrestling, and one thing about a heel that is so simple that I don't see anymore is when, you know, in the beginning of the match, when the baby face, it's usually the baby face gets a little bit of a flurry in the beginning, the heel dominates the middle, and then the baby comes back up, you know, at the end. And it's even with just something as so simple as when the baby face gets the flurry, the heel rolls out of the ring. That, I mean, something that simple you don't see anymore. With psychology,
well, and also,
we saw that. We saw that with Triple H and Sting last year. When Triple
well,
H was yeah.
Heels don't cheat anymore.
Unfortunately, right. There's no roll-up, pulling up tights anymore. There's no nothing.
And here's why. They're told not to cheat because then it diminishes the role of the referee. So now what you're telling me is the guy that I'm supposed to boo gets to do all the cool stuff to the babyface and doesn't have to cheat and has all these cool moves, and you want me to boo the guy that's doing all the cool stuff
right.
to the guy that's getting his butt handed to him? It's backwards, you know? There's no heat anymore for it. Like, Rusev should be cheating every chance he gets, and he doesn't do it.
Absolutely.
You know? And it's just like, come on. You know, it worked. It was so great in the 80s and in the 90s, you know? False tags. You never see false tags anymore. Come on.
Yeah. See, that's the reason why I like Baron Corbin so much. That's the reason why I think that Baron Corbin can be such a strong heel, because he's one of the only pure heels in the business right now. People don't like Baron Corbin.
Right.
He gets booed, you know, and he,
well, also,
and he does
Baron Corbin has the look of a guy that you don't want to like.
Exactly.
He has that face, you know, he's just arrogant. And you know what's cool about Baron Corbin is, you know, when Billy Gunn was in NXT, one of the trainers, that was Billy's guy. And Billy told me from, you know, the beginning that this guy's going to be great. And he is. He's got size. Yeah. You know, he has that I don't give a damn attitude. He's got that look on his face that you just don't want to be around him. You know, and you know, and he has potential to be something great. And I eventually see, I hope I get to see Baron Corbin against John Cena one day. Because I think they can build Corbin up to be that guy where you're going to want to see John Cena beat him.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I agree. And I think it's just, it's one of those things, man. We need that. We need people like Rusev, Baron Corbin. We need those people in wrestling, because we just need that type of that heel that actually gets heat. We just need heat to be revived. I mean, people don't even get heat anymore, you know, for us to jeer. You know, it's just so many split crowds.
Exactly.
We're like, we don't know who to root for. And it's like that diminishes someone's strength of their character if you got half the people cheering them and half people booing them. You know, it just, I mean, how does that help someone progressively? It's just ridiculous. You're speaking of Rusev and the Money in the Bank. What do you think about the whole Rusev and Titus O'Neil thing? My take real quick is that it seems like it's a rib. It seems like it's a Vince McMahon petty rib of, let me make sure. Let me just put the stamp of Vince McMahon on the fact that you don't pull my arm anymore. That's what it just seems like for me. It seems like it's a blow-off match just to make sure that, you know, Titus O'Neil is humbled, you know, and it just didn't seem like it's anything further than that. What are your thoughts?
My thought is that Titus O'Neil's contract is coming up shortly. He's probably not going to resign. So I'm going to beat the guy on the way out.
Hmm. Wow. Yeah, that's pretty much. Yeah,
you know what I mean?
If
he's not going to resign, okay, well then you're gonna put my Russian heel over strong, and you're gonna tap.
Yeah.
That's what you're gonna do. You know, and like when that match went down, and you know Rusev made him tap, I was shocked. I'm like, oh, okay. I thought for sure Titus was gonna come out. Titus is bigger, stronger, fries faster, you know. It's Father's Day. He's the All-American dad. He's dad of the year. He's going to get rewarded, you know, for his BS suspension. And I was like, oof, okay, I didn't see that coming.
Mm.
And then it's like, you know what, maybe he's not going to resign because his contract is due. It's up in the next week or two. And if he's not going to resign, well, that's what happens. You get beat on the way out.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good point. I didn't, you know, I was thinking about the contract now. I was thinking more of the pulling the arm situation, but, you know, like you said, you know, getting beat on the way in.
Yeah, you know, again, listen, that whole thing, pulling on the arm, got blown way out of proportion, okay?
Oh.
I can see why Vince was upset about it. He just lost one of his top moneymakers. And then, he thought that somebody was screwing around, and, okay, he made this decision, and he didn't go back and change it, because then Vince shows that he has a weakness, and he's not going to show that to the talent, you know? You know, it was just a bad situation, a bad scenario for everybody. But you know, at the end of the day, it's business. And, you know, Titus O'Neil handled it like a champ, you know.
Mm-hmm.
He did a suspension. He missed WrestleMania. He's come back. He's done everything that they've asked him to do. And then he tapped out and put Rusev over. Now, you know, O'Neil got his heat back on Raw, you know. But, you know, who knows where it's going to go from there now.
Yeah. If anything, this is probably another loss. I mean, it's kind of like what they did, what they were doing with Rusev and Swagger, you know, just multiple matches and Swagger losing every single one of them. So,
right.
What are your thoughts on Apollo Crews?
I think Apollo Crews is amazing. The only thing that makes me nervous, and I didn't realize it until he was going nose-to-nose with Stardust backstage for a vignette, that Stardust almost towered over him. And I was like, wow, this guy looks huge until he's standing next to somebody.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. But I think he's got great charisma. He's got an amazing moveset. He looks like $1 million. He has all the potential in the world. But, you know, in Vince McMahon's land of giants, I think it might be a challenge at times. I mean, they put it over strong against Sheamus. I couldn't believe that he kicked out of Sheamus' Celtic crossing from the second rope. I'll be honest, I didn't like that at all. It's like, are you kidding me? I mean, that should have killed somebody. You know what I mean? So.
Yeah. Why do you think he got called up? I mean, is it like kind of a job well done thing for him? I mean, because, you know, here's the thing. We saw in the Breaking Ground, you know, they get excited to get called up, you know, that, and that's great.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, think about the people who've been called up, you know, since last year's WrestleMania. You know, you've got Neville,
right.
Sami Zayn, Enzo and Cass, Tyler Breeze, and Apollo Crews. I would only say the only people who have involved villains. Enzo and Cass is probably the only people who's really benefited from the call-up. Sami Zayn has as well, but there's still something not clicking with Sami Zayn. You know, there hasn't been someone who, in the past year, you know, 14, 15 months, there still has not been someone who's been called up that has really shined. You know, you can say Kevin Owens.
Has.
You know, of course, Kevin Owens, he got called up. But he's the exception to the rule. You know, I mean, he's the exception to what's going on right now. And to me, it just seems like it was just a pit stop for Kevin Owens anyways, because he was only there for a few months. So he really didn't count as far as being an NXT guy, though.
Breaking Ground is a tool that was used to introduce the WWE audience to the NXT kids and get you emotionally invested in who they are by showing their story. No different than Tough Enough, okay, or the UFC fighter show. It's ways of saying, hey, here's who we got. Here's who's coming up. We're going to feature them. We're going to tell you their story. You're going to fall in love with them, and you're going to boo and cheer them when they get to the main roster.
Yeah.
The reason why they're calling all these guys up right now is because there was a lot of injuries, and they're going to slowly start to replace the old guard. You know, all of Johnny Ace's guys are on the way out. These are now all of Triple H's signing.
Mm-hmm.
And now with this, you know, Raw, SmackDown brand split and draft, you need talent. And they're realizing now that their roster is not as well padded as they thought. It's actually kind of thin once
you
pass the first five or six top guys.
Definitely. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Very true. So what are your Raw takeaways?
I thought Raw was a great recap of Money in the Bank, what it was.
Yeah.
You know, and I'll be honest, you know, it's kind of what I expected. I think that everyone that says, oh, my God, they're going to bury AJ Styles, if you honestly still believe that after everything AJ has done the last few weeks, you're an idiot. AJ Styles was being made out to be a top guy.
Mm-hmm.
He was just interviewed by Steve Austin on the podcast. They obviously have big plans for AJ. They like him. And some people are saying that AJ was signed to replace Daniel Bryan. Maybe. But AJ Styles is an amazing human being. He's a good person, and no pun intended, a phenomenal talent. And if I'm right now, John Cena, and I have to pick up the guys I want to work with, I want to work with AJ Styles because I've never worked with him before. And I think that in Cena's thinking, God, I go, we can do some new stuff. I mean, how many more times do you want to see John Cena work with Sheamus or Big Show, you know, or Randy Orton whenever he gets back, or all these other guys, you know?
Yeah.
And then some of the NXT, and then some of the NXT guys, they're not ready yet for John Cena.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think that they can, especially with this split, man, if they put John Cena over at SmackDown, and I think Corbin can be a top heel. I really think that they could do something with Corbin. My pick would be, I would make Baron Corbin one of the strongest heels on SmackDown, or, you know, period, point blank.
I agree, but I think he has to marinate and come up slowly. I think that if they really want Corbin to be successful, he's got to work his way up. Winning the battle, when I saw he was in the Battle Royal in Dallas, I said, Baron Corbin's going to win. And they're like, what? You're crazy. I'm like, what better way to introduce this guy than to win that match? Now he's instant credibility as far as the fans are concerned. You know?
They didn't follow up with that, though.
I'm sorry?
They didn't follow up with it.
Well, but they did slowly. I mean, there was so much stuff going on at WrestleMania, you know, and just let him come up, you know, where he's under the radar. So now now that spotlight's not on him. So now they can finish him up and polish him up. And, you know, working with Dolph Ziggler is a great guy for Corbin to work with. Because, you know, Ziggler's been around. He's been around, you know, he's had at least four different gimmicks in this company, you know. And he's a guy that will sell and put over all of Corbin's big stuff.
Yeah.
You know, now it's like I'm curious to see who he goes through next. It's going to be interesting.
I really hope. I wasn't opposed to Ziggler. Like I said, I just don't think Ziggler has enough steam as a babyface to really put over Corbin as a heel. I just think he's flat. You know, I really think he's putting him over very, very much. Especially with kind of like the, you know, Ziggler winning a couple by this and that, and then, you know, Corbin, you know, finishing it off and winning a couple. By having Corbin lose the first match, I think that was a bit off. But I was hoping that Kane would be, he would feud with Kane. I was hoping that would be his next feud. But when he was coming back with Corporate Kane, as Corporate Kane, it just kind of, you know, sabotage my thoughts with that. But I think Kane could be a good person for Corbin to work with, you know, to get that type of heat that should be, you know, that he should get as a heel.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but do you think that the fans are going to cheer for Corbin against Kane?
No. I don't think so.
You know?
I mean, I think Kane is – what I've noticed is that Kane – is this? I mean, that's the reason why he kind of gravitates to babyface all the time, because for some reason Kane is just the likable person. I mean, that's just the person. I mean, if throughout his career, you know, he's for some reason they would always try to force him to be heel, and he at the end of the day he would always go back to babyface. You know, because you know Kane was just that has that type of aura to him. You know that kind of breeds respect. You know, and I think that if with this Corporate Kane now, I think it throws it off. But if he didn't come back with that time or two as Corporate Kane, I think that because there's history, because there's a short amount of history, but there's still history because Kane was the runner up. You know, he was the runner up of the Battle Royal, so Kane can come back and, you know, and try to get some vengeance from that, and, you know, chokeslam Corbin. You know, there's him getting, you know, some steam as a babyface, and then Corbin end up winning the feud, and, you know, he gets more heat, you know, and I think
the only problem with that for me is cosmetically Kane is so much bigger than Baron Corbin. If you're trying to sell Baron Corbin as a monster bad guy, and then you put him in there with a guy that's a legit 6'10", 6'11", probably outweighs him by 30 or 40 or 50 pounds, now Corbin doesn't look quite as big as he did against Dolph Ziggler.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's true.
You know?
I think it still kind of defies the odds, though. I think at the end of the day, you need someone with Corbin who has enough esteem as a babyface. There's, and it goes back to my whole thing of people aren't building enough steam as babyfaces from a creative standpoint. They're not making babyfaces someone that has enough steam that if the heel beats them, they'll get heat. That just, unfortunately, doesn't really exist no more. I mean, he beat Zack Ryder on Raw. I mean, what really does that
right.
do? I mean, it's just, you know, I mean, it's kind of like
nothing.
You know,
yeah.
Yeah, it's kind of like beating Iron Mike Sharper. You know, it just doesn't really do
right.
anything, you know. So,
right.
All right. So let's spend the last 10 minutes on the Flavor of the Week. We'll be right back.
It is now time for the Flavor of the Week.
All right, so Flavor of the Week topic this week is we're going to talk about the memorable Jake Roberts heel turn. I mean, it started off with the Do You Trust Me to the Ultimate Warrior, which led to being in the snake, you know, in the snake pit and the Ultimate and him being in cahoots with the Ultimate Warrior with the Undertaker, and then that and then him being such a strong heel, which led him to have a match with Randy Savage, and then the infamous snake biting segment. Just an amazing time. I thought his music was just bone chilling as well. What are your thoughts on that Jake Roberts heel turn?
You know, Jake was just so good at everything. I mean, he had that nice babyface run right before he turned heel. And if you're going to be a great heel, you got to be an awesome babyface. And he pulled off both together. I mean, you know, back then wrestling was different. You know, I didn't know as much. You know, I didn't understand as much of it as I do now. And I didn't see Jake really turning on Warrior. I thought that he was going to be his buddy and help him out. And when he did, I was like, oh, my God. I go, I can't wait to see that match. You know, and when you throw in The Undertaker, then you get Macho Man involved. And, you know, and what was so great is that the Ultimate Warrior was just such an over-the-top babyface. I mean, he was just so impressive physically. And he wasn't great in the ring by no stretch of the imagination. But when you get to work with a guy like Jake Roberts, a guy that just, his psychology is second to none. His theory is off the charts amazing. It was just great TV. It was great segments. And the way he talked and carried himself, you know, it was just awesome.
Yeah, I agree. You know, and I was a preteen at that time, about to be a teenager, and you know, it was just so real. You know, wrestling at that time was just so real to me. It was just larger than life. And that's the reason why I attached to the character so much, even to this day, you know, 25 years later. And, you know, back then, I just remember, you know, Jake Roberts being one of my favorite, you know, people to watch because, you know, he had such the riveting and just engaging promos, carrying out the snake to the foe, the adversary. You know, he was feuding against Earthquake and feuding against Andre the Giant. And, you know, he had so much, you know, all these towering opponents, you know, that that he used the snake to kind of humble them. And it was just so, it was such a great David and Goliath story with Jake the Snake Roberts so many times. And, you know, when he turned heel, it just seemed like my life just shattered. And that's the whole point. That's what it's supposed to do. You know, and that's what makes
it's supposed to invoke emotion.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's what makes a heel turn so amazing. You know, and here's my question to you. Name one heel turn in the past 10 years that has elicited that type of emotion.
In the last 10 years?
Yeah.
Oh, boy. I don't think there is one.
Exactly.
You know,
and that's,
you know what, for me,
the only thing that
I think that could rival that heel turn was that 86 when Orndorff turned on Hogan.
On Hogan, yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Against Bundy and Studd.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's it, you know. But there hasn't been.
Martino, San Martino and Zbyszko was pretty good too in '80.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Right. But, I mean, you know, at that time, you know, you had to – the only time you got to see Hulk Hogan was if you paid to see him. So
right.
for him to be on TV, on Wrestling Superstars or Challenge or whatever it was, and he's in the tag match with his best friend, Mr. Wonderful, against Bundy and Stud, and then Mr. Wonderful turns on him and dumps him on his head with that pile driver, it's like, wow, we just saw something freaking amazing.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And then they go and sell out 54,000 seats in Toronto 2 months later for
yeah.
that match. You know?
Absolutely.
But that's
yeah,
heat.
That was really
you know, they don't have heat anymore. I mean, think about it. Even when Seth Rollins turned on Reigns and Ambrose, there was no real heat there.
Nope. None. Exactly. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And the funny part of that is he was getting cheered. You know, like,
yes.
you know,
yep.
the Authority drew some heat, but, you know, it wasn't very good heat because the thing is, people were still cheering Roman Reigns. And that's
right.
just really our running point of people are not getting heat anymore. And that's the big issue.
No.
That's the reason why I want to talk about the Jake Roberts heel turn because he was, I mean, when he turned heel, he got so much heat after that. I mean, people hated Jake Roberts, and they loved him before. And just, again, I pay attention to the nuances. He changed his snake. Like, that's
yes.
the type of stuff I look. He changed his gear. He changed his snake. He changed his theme music. That was, I mean, his theme music sounded so menacing. You know, it sounded just so eerie. Do you trust me? You know, just the type of music that was playing compared to the original one. It was, I mean, you have to invest. I mean, if you want to turn someone heel, you have to invest in that person becoming a heel. When Seth Rollins, when he turned heel, he had some type of, you know, Marvel comic, theme music, gear. It wasn't heelish. There was nothing about Seth Rollins that looked like a heel when he turned heel.
And Seth Rollins does cool moves. When Jake
exactly.
Roberts walked to the ring, he came to the ring as a snake, he wrestled his match as a snake, and he left the ring as a snake. He was
exactly.
that character.
Yep.
Too many guys, they're only their character on their way to the ring. Once they get in the ring, they do a regular match, and then they leave as their character.
Exactly.
They have to be that all the way through.
Yep, there's no continuity there. Absolutely. All right, give us 30 seconds as far as where can we find you, David? What are all the amazing things that you're involved in? Let us know.
You know what? One of the best ways is to go to pwrshow.com. That's where all the events are with Damian and I, with our shenanigans, parties, and whatnot. Blizzardbrawl.com is all of my local Wisconsin wrestling events. And you can always follow Nonsense and Shenanigans on Twitter at David Hero, 2 R's, not one, 2 R's, H-E-R-R-O, for all of your super friends' needs. So.
Awesome. Been a pleasure,
yeah.
David. We definitely got to do this again.
Absolutely. I enjoyed it. I had a blast. I look forward to the next time.
Awesome. Have a good night.
All right. Take care. Bye-bye.
Ladies and gentlemen, David Hero, Jake Roberts, what an action-packed evening of tonight. Definitely one of the, you know, one of goes into the memory books as being one of the most awesomest Pancakes and Power Slam shows of all the times. So thank you so much for just continuing to, you know, support just amazing show. And just, I'm just so blessed and so honored to just, you know, rub shoulders with some of the greatest, you know, even from a professional wrestling standpoint and a promoter standpoint and a journalist standpoint. I've really enjoyed having co-hosts, you know, from reputable wrestling sites and promoters like David Hero. It's just, I'm just honored and blessed. And I thank you all for listening. You all have a great evening. Enjoy your week of wrestling. God bless, and we'll talk to you soon. Bye-bye.